at Hagman Report. Also on Instagram at Hagman Report. Facebook, Hagman Report. Go ahead and like us and follow us on Twitter. Or stalk us. We have some of those.
And definitely bookmark the Hagman Report website.
HagmanReport.com, that would be. HagmanReport.com.
Yes. I'm going to be writing some stuff here soon.
I duct tape his left arm down to the chair and his bottom down to the chair. But our guest, Dr. Ted Brower, talking about, in the words of J.D., freaky deaky stuff. Now, this is information that gives you the context for events that we've seen in Genesis 6 and the events of today, because what has passed is prologue, and there's nothing new under the sun. We certainly want to say thank you for the generous gift of time, as if I can talk, the generosity of Dr. Ted Brower and his generous gift of time. It takes a lot of time just for this show alone. Okay, I could say with authority that he's probably spent well over 40 hours to get the information that he's given to all of us for tonight. So again, many, many thanks, and you can certainly support him by going to healthmasters.com, and ordering your nutritional supplements there using the coupon code Doug, that's D-O-U-G, 5. Without further ado, Mr. Dr. Ted Brower. Ted, take it away, sir.
Nutrition articles up, and we talk about those. And I pull about 30 or 40 news articles up, and we talk about that. And I could basically scan those, highlight them. It takes me about 2 hours prep for a show. But when you got to read a bunch of books.
Yeah.
I mean, 3 books for this show. You're right. I've actually got over 40 hours on this show. And so if you guys like the show, thank you. If you don't like the show, I don't know what to tell you. I mean, this is something that I felt I needed to do. And Doug and I felt I needed to do.
I was waiting for. I wanted to see what was going to come after that pause.
Well, here's what I'd like for you to do. If you like the show, if you're not getting any supplements from us, which many of you already do, at least get your multiple vitamins from us. What's it, $25, whatever. And you can basically get 5% off of that now too. So just get your multiple vitamins. That's it. I mean, that's all we're asking. We're not asking a lot. I'm not asking you to just go buy $1,000 worth of stuff. It's like $25. And also, while you're there and you're basically trying to help support Health Masters, which basically needs some new equipment now, we're going to get some of the Comrex systems like you guys have, Doug, so we can sound like we're like, studio quality. But then I found out from Todd that our producer, they're like, that's like $5,000 in the Comrex.
It's big bucks.
The Comrex unit that you're looking at is pretty high tech and gives.
Do you really need all that gold trim on that? I mean, I'm just kidding.
The Comrex box, you can basically do a live radio show from a moving car on top of a mountain.
The reason
we want to do this, we want to start doing live reporting, and I want to be able to take the Comrex with me.
Yep.
And that's why we're buying that one. It is expensive. It's like $5,000, and it can do pretty much anything you want it to do. So, you got to sell a lot of multiple vitamins, to make that, So thank you for your support. And also, while you're there and you're thinking of supporting us, support Hagman's. You can go to the website there and make a donation to Hagman and Hagman. And I know it's not tax deductible, but guys, a lot of you listen to the show every night. And if everybody listening to the show tonight, which is going to be in the millions by the time I get listens to on the podcast, if everybody just went to Hagman and Hagman and gave them $5 or $10 or $20, it would be such an incredible blessing for them too. Cause, we're kind of out here on our own, in the alternative media, because we do this stuff from a Christian standpoint. It's me and Doug and Russ Dizdar and Dave Hodges, and there are some people talk about Christian stuff and they might mention it occasionally, but we really are committed to the Lord Jesus Christ, and we talk about it openly on our show.
Amen.
I remember the first time I did your show, Doug, I didn't know that was how you guys felt. I really didn't know that, and I just come off of Coast to Coast, and they tell you not to speak about Christianity.
I remember
I asked you, I said, Doug, can I talk about Jesus or Christianity? And you started laughing. He goes, of course you can. And because I didn't know. I didn't know, but I still ask you because I wanted to be able to bring that up. And the last time I did the Coast to Coast show with George, I tried to talk about the blood of Christ, and he refused to allow me to do it. Told me no. I will direct the questions. I will tell you what to talk about. I said, okay. And so so we basically are out here talking about Jesus, talking about, and there's the other guy in Vero Beach. He's also big. What's his name? Doug. He's here in Florida with me. you know who he is, the guy in Zero.
Rick Wiles.
Is here. So we've got Rick, we've got me, we've got you guys, we've got Dave Hodges, and we've got Russ Dizdar. And I don't really know of any other guys that really, really focus that much on Christianity. Do you know of anybody else?
Paul McGuire, Pastor David Langford.
Does he have his own show?
Yes. He just started his own show, 4 to 6 p.m. on Blog Talk Radio, The Paul McGuire Report. But
okay,
yeah,
good,
you
good.
Know, there's not that many. And if you notice, the alternative media shows specifically with the Christian theme do not ever find syndication. They have problems with advertisers who disagree with their content. They have and are attacked by fellow so-called Christians more than anything else.
And it's never been worse in the attack field. Ted Brower knows that more than just as much as we do. Ted, you're fighting tooth and nail too. And,
it's like I told Dave Hodges a few weeks ago. Greater is he who is in me than he's in the world. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Who by worrying can add a single moment to their life? See, and that's how I look at all of this stuff. People say, well, how do you read this stuff and not get negative? Because I don't have a negative God. He tells me I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. The Bible says it is yea and amen. I mean, so I don't look at it that way. And I mean, the worst thing they do is that they take us out of our physical body. And basically, we're just an energy wave anyhow, an energy form. The only real is our soul, and it just moves on to be with God. So there's really no downside to being a Christian and dying. That's why Jesus said, where is thy victory? Where is thy sting, O death? Because he knew it didn't exist any longer. And it's these globalists that are Satanists, they don't realize what's fixing to happen to them. And in the book of Isaiah, I believe it's chapter 15, goes into detail about how they're sitting in hell in chains, and basically Lucifer shows up and he's in chains, and they're saying, hey, what happened, buddy? You were supposed to get us out of here, and this wasn't supposed to happen. You told us we're going to be up there ruling with you. It doesn't work that way with these guys. They know the end of the story. How in the world can you go against the Most High? How can you go against the creator of the universe himself? These ridiculous aliens or ETs or whatever you want to call them, they tell us that they created us, and then they tell the human beings that, but they can't fix their own DNA. Are you joking me? And when they capture their spaceship, it's filled with human body parts. I mean, this is not okay. We're going to talk about that in just a minute. Okay. By the way, I want to go ahead and go back to Forrestal a second again. Forrestal, when he was put into the hospital there, okay, his doctor was Dr. William C. Menninger, who died in 1966 of the Menninger Clinic in Topeka, Kansas. Remember, Dr. Menninger was the great LSD experimenter, had strong CIA connections, and was linked to the Tavistock Institute. Forrestal was checked into the Bethesda Naval Hospital 5 days after treatment by Nutbag Menninger. The LSD therapy was wearing off as he had gained 12 pounds before he was found dead after a fall. And they also say they had tied a sheet around his neck and the sheet broker came off his neck. I mean, this is crazy. It was complete and total stays. Now, Fred Bell also says, and this is all I got out of this 400-page book, these two paragraphs. Gosh, I wish I just read this paragraph start with. He goes, I have been to Area 51 several times and I've observed a tremendous amount of unexplainable phenomena. Since my visits were there during the mid-80s and 90s, after Sean David Morton's grand expose and tours, mostly on Wednesday nights, and finally the arrival of Larry King, the base seems to have been dismantled, and all of the reverse-engineered alien technologies had been moved. Now, that's interesting for Fred that he actually had been to Area 51. Now, I want to go ahead and go on with his next book now, which is another one of these. This is the one that was on the theoretical biophysics. This is just a lot of stuff. And guys, if it starts getting redundant with you guys, let me know and we'll jump to another topic real quick. But I wanted to cover this because I read these books. This is, again, going back with the alien agenda. And this is on page 16 of Fred's book. And he basically quotes General Douglas MacArthur, and I want to start with this. And he said, the nations of the earth must someday make a common front against attack by people of other planets, quote unquote. This is General Douglas MacArthur was quoted as saying this in the New York Times, October the 9th, 1955. And Fred says, and I believe everyone knows who General MacArthur was, he wasn't the type of individual who would make an erroneous statement to feed his ego or to get recognition, because he's already well recognized because of the Pacific Theater in World War II. And then we had the crash in 1947 with the Roswell. That's been spoken about a lot, so I'm not going to cover that. Fred covers that in the book too. But he goes, after the 1948 crash in Hart Canyon in Aztec, New Mexico, our government became very concerned. Another crash occurred, and they were doing this with radar systems, making these ships come down. Another crash occurred on February the 13th, 1948, on the Mesa near Aztec. And between the two crashes, 17 alien bodies were recovered. Of greater significance was the discovery of a large number of human body parts stored within both of these vehicles, as was found in a ship that went down in Canada also. They were basically killing people and chopping them up. Okay, this is some crazy stuff, but that's what these guys are doing. And I'm sure these were the really bad Satan group aliens, if that's what you want to call them. At that time, the United States Air Force and the Central Intelligence Agency exercised complete control over the alien secret. One of the reasons the CIA was formed by presidential executive order first as the Central Intelligence Group was for the express purpose of dealing with the alien presence. Later, the National Security Act was passed, enabling it as the Central Intelligence Agency. A similar cover-up was happening in England at the same time also. Then on December the 9th, 1947, Truman, remember, this is Fred Bell, who was murdered after he spoke on Jesse Ventura's show that I believe he was killed. Okay, this is so important. Then on December the 9th, 1947, Truman approved the issuance of NSC-4. This was called the Coordination of Foreign Intelligence Measure, done at the urging of the Secretary Marshall, Secretary of State Forrestal, Patterson, and the Director of the State Department's Policy Planning Staff, a man by the name of Kenyon, later Director NC-10 and NC-10-2. Now, there was a spiritual part to what happened next. The Secretary of Defense, James Forrestal, began to object to the secrecy of the alien cover-up. He was idealistic and a religious man who believed the public should be told. When he began to talk to the leaders of opposition party in Congress about the alien problem, he was asked to resign by President Truman. He expressed his fears to many people and rightfully believed that he was being watched. This was interpreted by those who were ignorant of the facts that he was paranoid. Forrestal later was said to have suffered a mental breakdown and was admitted into the Bethesda Naval Hospital. We've already talked about that. In 1949, a live alien was recovered from the Roswell crash. They named him EBE. The name suggested by Bush, by Dr. Vannevar Bush, stood for extraterrestrial biological entity. EBE had tendency to lie. Of course, that's what they do. For over a year, he would give only the desired answers to the questions asked. During the second year of captivity, he began to open up, revealing startling information. Now, President Truman, he found that this alien died. President Truman then created the Super Secret National Security Agency by secret executive order on December the 4th, 1952. His primary purpose was to decipher the alien communications and language, such as the unusual markings they had in and on the downed spaceships.
There you go. The NSA created for the alleged purpose of aliens. And Ted, this is just my opinion, but the powers in the government know the spiritual forces of good and evil exist, and they know that they have influence in this world, and the aliens, as we call them, demons, as I like to call them, and this notion of disclosure, if you notice from back from Bill Clinton to all presidents since him have promised disclosure. Even Hillary Clinton says, when I get into office, one of the first things I'm going to do is you know, release to the American people what is with Area 51. Bill Clinton said the same thing. That was obviously the intention to intercept alien communication to create the NSA was a smokescreen. And I guess the terminology could be used accurately, alien pertaining to the citizens of the world as being alien outside of the 1% elitist. But this is how they do this. You know, from Reagan saying, you know, some days I wish an outside force would you know, threaten us so we could be all brought together as one. The Pope saying if aliens arrive, we would baptize them. It is a very convoluted web, and it's sad that people buy into it at the face value.
No, you're right. But listen to what happens next, because I didn't know this. I actually learned this. Eisenhower knew that he had to deal with the alien problem without revealing it to Congress. Early in 1953, he turned to his friend and fellow member of the Council on Foreign Relations, Nelson Rockefeller, for help. Together, they created MJ-12, He asked Rockefeller for help with the alien problem, was the biggest mistake Eisenhower ever made for the future of the United States and probably the whole humanity. Within a week of Eisenhower's election, he appointed Nelson Rockefeller chairman of the Presidential Advisory Committee responsible for the reorganization of the government. Rockefeller was responsible for planning a reorganization of the government. New Deal programs went into one single cabinet position called the Department of Health, Education, and Welfare, a department that participated in the Global 2000 report. When Congress approved the new cabinet position in April 1953, Nelson was named to be part of the post under Secretary to Evita Culp Hobby, who was the head lady there. Now, what was interesting about that is this is how Rockefeller tied all this together with the Rothschild Group right there. That's when it happened, guys. That's when it all happened with these guys. And then Independence Day in 1953, the astronomers discovered large objects in space moving towards Earth. First, believed the asteroids. They later produced spaceships, and Project Sigma intercepted the alien radio communications. And several huge ships reached the Earth and assumed a high equatorial orbit. Their actual intent was unknown. This goes back to Steven Spielberg's movies, Close Encounters, and talked. Basically, he was, I guess he had known about some of this stuff, and he was actually doing a movie. And this is when these different types of extraterrestrials came down and started talking to the people, in which they actually developed a treaty with them. Supposedly, now I don't know if any of this stuff is true, guys. I'm just telling you what Fred Bell's saying. Also, the alien nation would furnish MJ-12 a list of all human contactees and abductions on a regularly scheduled basis, which they, of course, they lied about that. The alien guests would remain on Earth and others would travel to another star system. And then Project Red Light was formed to test fly the alien craft. All Dreamland, which is personnel, which is close to Area 51, required a Q clearance. It's interesting to note, Q clearance requires presidential approval. And again, Fred says, I had a secret clearance when I was in the Air Force and afterwards, but a Q clearance the president doesn't even have, though he has to approve it. That means the president is not allowed to go to Area 51, which I thought that was crazy. Remember, Bill Clinton said after he became president, he realized that it wasn't something that he wasn't in control. He answered to other people. And that, again, is this secret government that's funded through the Exchange Stability Fund, through the drugs and the trafficking of the heroin, through Afghanistan, which runs basically the secret organization of the government of all of this. This all ties together now from this, from what I'm doing it right here. By 1955, it became obvious that the aliens had deceived Eisenhower and broken the treaty. Mutilated humans and mutilated animals, Linda Moulton Howe talks about this, were found all across the U.S. The last mutilated humans that I know were found in 79. Mutilated animals continue to be discovered today. It was believed the aliens were not submitting a complete list of human contactees and abductees, and that all the abductees had not been returned. The aliens were suspected of interacting with the Soviet Union, manipulating masses of people through secret societies, witchcraft, magic, the occult, and other ways. After several Air Force combat aerial engagements with alien craft, it also became apparent that our weapons were no match against them. The aliens then began to use implants. L.A. Marzulli talks about this in detail on the one show that I did with him on the Power Hour. And he goes, Fred sells at my workshop and seminars. I display actual x-rays and CAT scans of implants. And I have medical reports from credible doctors in radiology labs at the University of San Diego and the University of Southern California, Los Angeles. These major university medical centers are finding out just a few, but hundreds of peoples with implants. The revelation of the alien presence and actions during the study must have been a great shock to Kissinger. He was definitely out of character during the time surrounding these meetings. He would never again be effective in this matter. Despite the seriousness of any of the subsequent events, on many occasions he would work late into the night, and having already put in a full day, he would be basically continuing to work all night. This led to his divorce. Now, Kissinger backed Argentina, remember, a few years later, in mass killings through Operation Condor. Now, the reason that they want to do this is they have decided that this is the most important thing they have to do, is they have to reduce the population of the planet. Now, I don't know why they decided they had to do that, or if that was something the aliens told them they had to do, but they basically decided that they had three ways of doing this. Alternatives 1, 2, and 3, as far as to ensure the future of the human race. This was developed by the Jason scholars. You guys can look this up. President Eisenhower developed the Jason scholars, which was the top group of scientists in the United States, who basically were to study and projected effects of a nuclear holocaust. And they came up with several different things that could be done as far as you know, from a strategy standpoint. Alternative one was to use nuclear devices to blast holes into the stratosphere, by the way, which they did do in the 60s. And we got to remember that with nuclear detonation in the atmosphere. Alternative two was to plan to build a vast network of underground cities and tunnels in which a select representation of all cultures and occupations could survive and carry on the human race in the event that we got wiped out. And alternative three was to exploit what they knew about the alien and conventional technology in order to establish colonies in outer space. All three alternatives included birth control, sterilization, and the introduction of deadly microbes to control and slow the growth of Earth's population. AIDS and Ebola are only the result of several of these plans, and far as through the boys at Fort Detrick. Now, I didn't know this, Doug and Joe. This is one of the things that I learned from Fred's book. Now, whether this is accurate or not, I don't know, but I do know this. I checked him on a bunch of facts in this book, and I looked them up personally and printed up a bunch of articles and also wanted to research what he had said and everything he talked about, including the weapons from Nazi Germany, the sonic weapons that had been developed. He was accurate on. In fact, he talks about a gun that they had created was called a sonic cannon that could blow its way. It could actually, at a couple miles away, it could burn through, 4 inches of solid steel. And I looked it up, and sure enough, it's there, and it's listed under the top 10 secret military weapons of Nazi Germany. So everything that I could dig up on what he was saying in this book, I could document with just a little bit of research. Now, the alternatives 1, 2, and 3, that's some crazy stuff. I never knew that was it. But that tells you why they want the big, vast network of underground cities, and they want to exploit the alien technology, which they've done with HARP, and they've done with the satellite-based weapon systems, etc. Now, the next question is, the Haig-Kissinger population policy, is it fact or myth? And he goes into this chapter, I mean, it's an entire chapter on why they're basically depopulating the planet, and it's supposedly for the entire human race to be able to stay alive. So, this is what Steve Quayle told me last month or 2 months ago when I was out in Montana visiting him having lunch. He said the whole thing is about population reduction. And that's what all the chemtrails are about, is to reduce the food. And so, guys, they're seriously doing this. They're doing it with immunizations. They're doing it with drugs. They're doing it with prescription drugs. They're doing it with everything. And the sad part about it is the vast majority of the population has absolutely no idea that the wars and famine and the global genocide are all part of this agenda that was started with the CIA to reduce the population of the planet to help keep us alive in the event that we have a major blowout with the aliens.
Absolutely.
I mean, this is some crazy stuff, guys.
Yes, and you mentioned the Haig-Kissinger depopulation policy, folks.
Yep.
Look that up. That's your homework assignment, great homework assignment for this show, the Haig-Kissinger depopulation policy. It's a PDF file. I think it's probably, eight, 9 pages long.
And you mentioned the suffering and terrible conditions that much of the Earth's population endure. No clean water, terrible shelters, no clothes. But the sad reality is when you consider and add up all charitable donations from, the last 10 years, there is enough to bring clean water, clean clothes, fresh living quarters, and basically all your basic needs, education systems, to every impoverished nation and person in the world. But it's because of people like the Clinton Foundation.
That's right.
Which the American people raised over $1 billion to help rebuild Haiti. Haiti received 0.47% of that money, which went to a select few at that. And this is the trend of all philanthropists, it seems, that their non-profit charitable organization is anything but non-profitable. They use the minimum legal amount to, instead of, if one were to open a charity, if I were to open a charity, I would want, and for the purpose of helping people, who keeps the money like that? Instead of helping those who are in need, especially when you're rich already, it makes no sense to me, except they do so for a war chest of money to bribe people for political favors and whatnot. But if that is worth more than the health and lives of most of the citizens of the world, that's terrible. And then they blame us, for not paying our fair share as reasons why some of these nations are so poor and worse off.
No, you're absolutely right, Joe. And the crazy thing about it is that the Clinton Foundation, where they brought in close to $1 billion for the Haiti relief effort, like you said, hardly any money went to Haiti. And because they just basically lavished it upon themselves. Because remember, they don't want to save the population. This is one of their key strategies, is to reduce the population of the planet. In fact, it goes on to say, this is by Thomas Ferguson, the Latin American case officer for the United States Office of Population Affairs. Now, I didn't even know this organization existed. The Office of Population Affairs. I looked it up. It's OPA. It's there. I've got a copy of it right here in front of me. I printed the front page of their website. Behind all our work, we must reduce population levels, said Thomas Ferguson, the Latin American case officer of the United States Office of Population Affairs. Either they, the government, do it our way through nice, clean methods, or they will get the kind of mess they have in El Salvador or Iran or Beirut. Population is a potential political problem. Once population is out of control, it requires authoritarian government, even fascism, to reduce it. The professional said, Ferguson, he says, they are not interested in lowering population for humanitarian reasons. Oh, that sounds nice. We look at resources and environmental constraints. We look at strategic needs. We say that this country must lower its population or else we will have trouble. I mean, guys, listen to me. This is all part of the Haig-Kissinger depopulation policy. This is real. This is what they wanted to do. And this is the reason according to Fred Bell, that they implemented it to start with. If you ever wonder why that they wanted to do this, what do you guys think, Doug?
Well, Ted, we'll hit that as soon as we come back from the other side of this break. We're up against it. Folks, you're listening to Dr. Ted Brewer on the Hagman & Hagman Report. One segment left right after these short messages. Stay with us.
Featuring Dr. Ted Brewer. Folks, you can listen to Dr. Ted Brewer right here on the Global Star Radio Network. And also, Ted's going to be with Dave Hodges, is my understanding, the third hour of the Dave Hodges Common Sense Show on Sunday. Very good. What a well-read, well-informed man. That's Dr. Ted Brewer. Visit healthmasters.com for all of your nutritional needs. We're so thankful that he's offering 5% off on all of his products. That's Doug5, D-O-U-G-5, for a coupon or promo code when you visit Health Masters. So get your goods ASAP. Now, speaking of goods, in addition to Health Masters, how about American Survival Wholesale? How about the long-term storable food? We spoke about the stove earlier. Well, you need something to cook. Well, what are you going to cook in an emergency? AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com. That's AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com. They've got the best long-term storable food anywhere, I believe, on the planet. Thrive brand food products, non-GMO. That's AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com. Throw some Health Masters in their purple sticks as well.
Anybody who orders from American Survival Wholesale and is not satisfied with their product, you can send it right to me. Because I love it. My pets love it. How does that sound?
Yeah, I know.
And it's a great company.
No, it really is. That's AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com, AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com. Ted, thanks for staying with us right through the bitter end, the final segment right now.
Well, I've enjoyed the show here's why. You know, I talked to you guys about this before. I do the nutritious stuff. People come to me with high cholesterol or high blood sugar. All that stuff is just really easy because I've done that for so long, for 36 years now we've been in business, that I enjoy doing that and I enjoy helping people and I love speaking to your listeners. But when I start getting into this esoteric stuff, and I've got to read, and I actually learned a bunch of stuff from Fred Bell and his books. Now, whether I agree with everything, I don't know. But I mean, I learned a bunch of stuff. But what's interesting about this is, it makes it so my brain gets some more, you know, neuroplasticity going. And, you know, I'm almost 61 years old now. And the fact that I read all of these books. I mean, I remember, I'm a real fast reader, but when I start reading this real technical stuff, I got to slow way down because I got to highlight it. And I've got literally hundreds and hundreds of pages of highlights here in these books. And what's interesting, I remember they tested me when I was in the fifth grade. Gosh, this is her teacher. The teacher's name was Miss McGinnis. That's back when they actually taught you how to read correctly. And I was reading at almost, what, I think 375 words a minute with 100% retention in fifth grade. I think it was like 9 or 10 years old. And so I'm a real fast reader. I'm not saying that to brag because it's something God just did for me. I never asked for that. But what's interesting is it gives me the ability to burn through a lot of material really fast. Like I read that one 400-page book, and you guys got two paragraphs out of it. But I can honestly say, Doug, after I finished reading that whole book and I had two paragraphs to talk about tonight, I thought, I kind of wish I hadn't read that one. That was a lot of reading. Okay. But now let's go to Kennedy. Now, think about this. Now, John F. Kennedy, PT-109, you know, profiles in Courage, the real deal president. He shows up. Wasn't supposed to win, but he did. He shows up in the middle of this alien mess, right? This is in the middle of it all. This is the early 60s. He's got the stuff going on with Khrushchev. He's got the stuff going on in Cuba. He's got the stuff going on with the Soviet Union. He's got all of this stuff going on. And he shows up in the middle of this secretive mess, and he didn't want to deal with it. And that's why he did that newspaper speech in which he said that all of these secrets are repugnant in a free society, and that he was going to expose this, basically, this secret society thing that was going on before he left office. Now, what he was talking about, there were multiple factors in that, because he also did Executive Order 11110, in which he gave the federal government the right to break the back of the banking cartel that enslaved the United States in 1913 and taken power and control of the Treasury in 1934 through the Exchange Stability Fund. And he wanted to break all of that mess. So he wanted to allow Congress to start printing its own money, and he started issuing silver certificates. Now, what was interesting about that, that's probably one of the things that got his death warrant. Plus, he was very, he was a philanderer. I mean, he liked the girls. And, you know, he really liked Marilyn Monroe. I mean, Marilyn Monroe, if you guys don't know who she was, and Doug and I both remember her, she was beyond hot. It was ridiculous how pretty that girl was. And they basically, apparently he had some pillow talk with Marilyn and started discussing with her the alien agenda. Now, this is from multiple sources. And now whether it's true or not, I don't know, because it was a private conversation between two dead people now, long gone. And basically that's one of the reasons that she was killed. Because she was going to start talking about what was going on with the ETs. Because Kennedy was very, very upset about this. This is what Fred Bell says. I'm going to read you this last thing in this book, then we're shifting books. Kennedy issues an ultimatum. At some point, President Kennedy discovered portions of the truth concerning the drugs and the aliens. This is the CIA running the drugs out of Southeast Asia. He issued an ultimatum in 1963 to the MJ-12. President Kennedy assured them that if they did not clean up the drug problem, he would. He informed MJ-12 that he intended to reveal the presence of the aliens to the American people within the following year and the plan to implement his decision. President Kennedy was not a member of the Council on Foreign Relations. He was not a member of the Bilderberger Group, which wasn't even in existence then. He was not a member of Skull and Bones and knew nothing about alternatives 2 or 3. That is the underground facilities and the internet and the space colonization. Internationally, the operations were supervised by an executive committee known as the Policy Committee. In the United States, they were supervised by the MG-12 and the Soviet Union by its sister organization. President Kennedy's decision struck fear into the hearts of those in charge. His assassination was ordered by the Policy Committee, and the order was carried out by the agents of MJ-12 out in Dallas. And we know there's a lot more to it than just that. The Warren Commission was a farce. The Council on Foreign Relations members made up the majority of the panel. They succeeded in snowing the American people. Many other patriots who attempted to reveal the alien secret have also been murdered throughout the intervening years. Now, that was interesting. Now, he did say something here that I had not seen before. Maybe you guys have seen it. And he says, I'm going to share something with you on a metaphysical level at this point in time. This is something that I learned through my guides about the Kennedy and Lincoln assassination. President Lincoln was assassinated 100 years before Kennedy was assassinated in about 1861. Lincoln was elected in 1860. Kennedy was elected in 1960, exactly 100 years later. There are 7 letters in each name. Both presidents were killed on a Friday. Both were killed in the presence of their wives. Both were directly concerned with civil rights. Both presidents had legally had their elections contested. Kennedy's secretary, Lincoln, warned him not to go to Dallas. Lincoln's secretary Kennedy warned him not to go to the theater. Both of their successors were named Johnson, Andrew Johnson and Lyndon Johnson. Each name contains 13 letters. Both served in the U.S. Senate. Lyndon Johnson was born in 1908. Andrew Johnson was born in 1808. Both Booth and Oswald were both Southerners favoring unpopular ideas. Oswald shot Kennedy in a warehouse and hid in a theater, which we know that's not true. Booth shot Lincoln in a theater and hid in a warehouse. Booth and Oswald were murdered before the trial could be arranged. Lincoln and Kennedy in death were carried on the same caisson. Booth and Oswald were born 100 years apart. Lee Harvey Oswald, John Wilkes Booth, each name had 15 letters. And he goes, more of a coincidence. So what's crazy about this is, remember we talked about this when we talked about 9/11 as a mass ritual sacrifice and how these guys, these Kabbalists, these Luciferians that are involved in all of this stuff, they're absolutely crazy about numbers and about doing things in particular order because that's what they do. That's what their Kabbalah teaches them. And that's what their witchcraft teaches them to do, to magnify and increase the effectiveness of what they're trying to do. So about all the coincidences between Lincoln and Kennedy, I just thought that was interesting and I thought I wanted to read it. What do you guys think about that?
You know, we have that that document actually that you read here at the office. It's interesting the parallels, the swap outs or the counterparts, you know, Lincoln and Johnson, or I'm sorry, Lincoln and Kennedy, Johnson and the secretaries and the vice presidents and the locations of the assassinations and the entire thing. That's some of that has been assailed in the mainstream media, but what hasn't? But yes, interesting indeed.
And under the totalitarian ideologies from the Soviet Union, there was a Soviet ideology based in universal appeal, and this goes into what you're talking about, creating a what you would call a new civilization that would come and overthrow the existing class structure, ultimately eliminates itself and ceases to exist. It says, from this standpoint, in communism, social justice appears to be the ultimate value, unless it be that classless society that is essential condition, eventually world domination and strong and pure nation race is essential condition through this ideology, where it goes on to say that this doctrine would basically appear as though there is a greater power that has appeared on stage, smarter and better than all of humans that have been here. And in doing so, it would be presented as aliens, and in a sense, a different kind of civilization. And yeah, this was a Marx and Engels theory in liberating mankind from the shackles of industrial capitalism. And they talk about how this degree of rationality here is for the means rather than of the ends, and that this transformation is possible and was possible back in the 60s. And it's very interesting to see that, and they go on to describe how the myths of old totalitarian ideological patterns from earlier nations, all the way through Hitler and the Soviet Union, had plans to implement a different type of intelligent species that would influence the world like no other and unite everyone under these totalitarian ideologies.
Well, that ties right together what we're going to talk about next on biophotons creating biorobots through the chemtrails of Morgellon. So we're going to talk about how they're planning on turning us into basically biorobot machines with the Morgellons, probably with the blue frequency they're going to be putting down on top of us, making this stuff grow. Guys, this is some weird stuff. And the crazy thing about it is, if the Morgellons wasn't real, if the chemtrails weren't real, if Carnicom and a lot of the other guys hadn't done so much of this research, I would question a lot of it. But I have personally tested my water twice after heavy chemtrail spraying, and both times it became obvious that something was seriously wrong because I had such high aluminum and barium in my water that it was no longer considered safe to drink for the EPA standards. This is rainwater. This rainwater is supposed to be distilled water. It could have a few atmospheric pollutants in it. but nothing like that. Well, how in the world am I getting heavy metal oxides in my water, in my rain, that's landing in my 500 milliliter Pyrex beaker in a sample collection system that I put together? So, guys, wherever this aluminum came from, this barium, the only place I know for it came from the sprays, because I can look up and see the spraying. And, you know, and the research also has been done now in house. They were to write, and Klaus Fellow was talking about it in his book. He said that basically he had one of the top guys who worked in aircraft maintenance had said that they had found the spray injector nozzles and the valves, and that a lot of people don't know about it because they've been installed inside of a lot of these jets, and that they use it in the sewage removal systems as far as loading it back up again, and it's all like super, super classified. And they were told by the people at the airports who knew about it that they couldn't talk about it because the government was doing this and the American population was not to know what was going on as far as the fact that they were being sprayed. So we know the chemtrails are real. Gosh, the NSA's already talked about it. The CIA's already talked about it. We know the patents are already in, so we know they're doing this to us already. We know we're having huge kill-off of greenery and trees and crops. The citrus crops here in Central Florida are a complete and total abysmal mess. We live on a little freshwater lake here in front of our house, and it was incredibly clean. It was like super pure water, and now it sort of looks like a swamp out there. It's just a big nasty mess in the water because it's changed the pH of the water because it's all these ions basically make it, so they're salt, they're basic, so they make it go alkaline. So it's been a giant mess. Let me read you a couple more pages here, and then we're going to be out of time. Klaus says, I mentioned this earlier, he said, it seems that the system is trying to implant two complementary chipping technologies to monitor individuals against plasma background created by chemtrails. Implanted chips via, this is the name of this book is Dangerous Imagination and Silent Assimilation by Harold Krauts-Bella, German physicist. He goes, it seems that the system is trying to implant two complementary chipping technologies to monitor individuals against the plasma background created by chemtrails. Remember, it's a charged particle. Implanted chips via mandatory vaccinations and self-multiplying nanobots, also known as Morgellons, who create an individual radio signature and live and grow on compounds found in genetically modified crops. There we go. And these Morgellons have been found in rain probes after heavy chemtrailing. Maybe the dependency on chemtrails available in genetically modified crops is the reason why Morgellons disease prospers in the United States, while in Europe there's only single cases found. Maybe there is not enough genetically modified food in Europe. Both nanochips and Morgellons are not personalized. It needs some effort to synchronize data to be able to say which person is identical with which radio signature. This is where naked scanning might come into the game, programming the unpersonalized chips. This is where mobile phones come into the game, where persons and signatures can be synchronized via detection of identical motion patterns, but this is only one of the mobile topics. Microwave radiation has been developed as a weapon system in the West, mainly by Raytheon, but not only in the West. Transmission signals of mobiles are 10,000 times stronger than they actually need to be for terrestrial communication. This decision was made out of intelligence reasons to make it possible to listen to calls from space. This whistleblower has a name. His name is Barry Trower, former British spy who is responsible to monitor, analyze, and evaluate Russian microwave weapons programs. Edition 2 goes on. Krauss talks about when one looks into the concept of black rituals, it always is about between a demon and a human. This is talking about satanic stuff again. It always goes back to satanic stuff, where the demon is offering his magic services to help the human gain power over matter or other humans, while the human is offering to feed the demon from his life force. In fact, the German SS during World War II was into black magic rituals, and Russ Dizdar talks about this a lot. It is a fact that the U.S. government associated to Skull and Bones, at least for four presidents, is in the black magic rituals. It is reported that the CIA is in the black magic rituals, which we already know that. There's an old belief that the banking dynasties, which we know that's the truth, are in the black magic rituals. These are the Rothschilds. It is a fact that even the last pope, the former German Cardinal Ratzinger, has been accused by a number of eyewitnesses of having personally committed ritual child murder in Belgium during his time as cardinal, together with other Belgian cardinals and members of the Belgian House of Kings. With all the madness in this world, there's no reason why one should turn 100% of all newborn children into fully autistic children by inserting irrational amounts of mercury into their blood. It's also being done with the aluminum. Autism doesn't give us useful slaves. Autism is driving the human soul out of the body just because it's too painful to stay there. Having the nerves stripped by mercury feels like a cold turkey when being addicted to heroin. Children under these conditions prefer to leave their body and position their consciousness somewhere outside. For light parasites, these photon eaters, is what we talked about earlier, pain might be a very useful way to make the organism send more biophotons to try to repair the damage associated with the pain, and a soulless body is easier to assimilate. Now, guys, this is some heavy stuff. This book is not for the light of heart, but this is the stuff that we wanted to talk about tonight, and there's a bunch more stuff that I could talk to about biorobots and all this other stuff. We can do that on the next show if I'm blessed enough to be back on with you guys. But the thing about it is, guys, it's just we have to understand something, that our relationship with Jesus Christ right now in these end times, and I really believe we're in the end times, is paramount. You know, we've got to pray on a regular basis, because when we pray, we release scalar waves. We've talked about that. And the scalar waves basically change the very fabric of time-space. In fact, I forgot to read you that one thing. I want to read you this about scalar waves real quick. The scalar wave, a closer look. This is from Fred Bell. Remember, as we discussed earlier, a scalar wave is in itself timeless, but is a vehicle for time. Secondly, it becomes infinite in the amount of time it can contain, because it is also of mind. Remember, all reality is made of linked thoughts of mind. It can be controlled by mind. It originates in the present mind. It can be directed into the past, the present, or future directions. That's what we talk about with the blood of Christ. However, if we direct it towards time, we need an additional ingredient, acceleration, so the matter being transposed can either enter upon multiples of the fourth dimension, because a scalar wave is composed of energy, including that of the mind. It has a mass and will respond to the principles of acceleration, or E equals MC squared. And he goes on for another quote. He said, a scalar wave, which we've talked about many times on your show, is a moment of energy that comes from infinity, from past, present, and future, that can be felt and realized now in this moment, which is, of course, what will always be for you and me. And this is why we talk about the blood of Christ, that it's being continually transmitted, the healing frequencies, through scalar waves, as Cain's blood cried out. You know, when Abel's blood cried out, it talked about it in the book of Genesis, and it said that Jesus' blood will cry out even more through the issuance of scalar waves. We've talked about that repeatedly on your show before. And guys, it's just beautiful to know from a physics standpoint that it corroborates everything the Bible has said all of these years and all these eons of time, because the Bible is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and it is the inherent Word of God. I believe that with all my heart.
Amen, brother. And that's, yeah. And there it is. There's the crux of it right there. In the remaining moments, Ted, in the remaining several minutes we have left, how do you want to wrap this up? Because, and yes, you come back on to talk about this, but there is, this to me is so important to talk about, because this explains, when you look at the wider picture, at the panoramic view of everything, this explains what's going on and how, the motive, the means, and the methods which are being used.
Well, it is, Doug, and this is why I talk about on my show, because you know my show is on from 3 to 4 every day, mm-hmm. on Global Star Radio, and it's also after your show. In fact, my wife is going to go on a tear after your show tonight, and she was on with Austin today. I wasn't on the show, and she started talking about social media. And ladies, if you're listening right now, you need to stay tuned, and you need to listen to what my wife said about social media and the raising of children, and how Snapchat and these other things from hell, which is basically what they are, these things, these messages, they get erased immediately, and then no one knows what their kids are saying or doing behind your back, that they just need to be taken off as far as the apps off the telephones, and they need, these kids have to be monitored, because these kids are not supposed to be your friends when they're 14, 15, 16 years old. You're supposed to tell them what to do. They can be your friends when they're 25 years old, not when they're 15, when they haven't got enough sense yet that God gave a jackrabbit because in the middle of puberty. So it's the truth. It's the truth. It's ridiculous. And so, guys, listen to me. Listen to the show tonight, because my wife's going to go on a tear for like 15 minutes talking about this. It'll be right after Hagman's show. So my show airs every night on Global Star after Hagman's show, and we will be talking about nutrition and other stuff with Austin today. And I love doing the nutrition stuff, and I know a lot of you guys tell me, well, we like it better when you talk about nutrition than others say we like it when you talk about the esoteric stuff like tonight. But guys, listen, it's all about understanding this, and I tell my listeners this, Doug. You've got to wrap your head around the fallen angel agenda. You've got to figure out that we are not alone in this universe. God does not have to clear it with us before he makes another species. He does not have to do that. He does not have to check with us first before he does it. And we already know that there are other species. The Bible talks about it in detail. We also know the angels are not from around here, because they pop in and pop out and do all these other crazy things they're capable of doing.
Dimension-wise.
Right. That's right. That's right. That's exactly right. Look at they were at the tomb when Jesus was resurrected. You know, Jesus walked through the door when he went into this with the disciples after the resurrection. And so all of these things, he walked on water. So we've got all of these different things that Jesus was able to do because he also was capable of being interdimensional because he's God, for heaven's sakes. He could do whatever he wanted to do, walk through a door. So that's what's so exciting about all of this stuff. When the Bible comes into our lives and it becomes real to us from a physics standpoint, that's why I love reading stuff like this, and I believe that I'm strong enough Christian that I can discern the New Age and the nonsense from the stuff that's biblically based, and that's why I enjoyed reading these three books for the show tonight. I really did.
Yeah, well, we really are thankful that you did that. Ted Roer, doing the research for tonight's show, the amount of information, knowledge distilled for presentation tonight was just immense, and really, thank you so much. And folks, Ted Roer, healthmasters.com, Doug5, for 5% off all of your purchases. And that's really, I mean, your profit margin on the products very slim, so this is a gift, I believe, to all of us. Healthmasters.com, Doug5, at checkout, the promo code for 5% off everything purchased. And as Ted said, even if you do nothing else but get your nutritional supplements, your daily supplements from Healthmasters, that's good, and you're further ahead than most people. So really appreciate that. And, of course, your show. Oh, you know what, Ted? You have a feature on Healthmasters.com for your show. People can call in and listen to the show 24/7 on the phone. It doesn't use data either on a cell phone, which is fantastic.
That's right. Let me look up that number for you real quick, Doug. I've got it right here. How much time do we have left before we run out of time here?
We got about 3 minutes.
Okay. But no, we do that. In fact, Todd was kind enough to set that up for me. And what it basically does, it allows you to listen to my show while you're driving in the car, mm-hmm. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And it starts over every time you recall the number. And the phone number is 641-552-5310. And there's no data usage because almost everybody's cell phone gives you free long distance now. Again, the phone number is 641-552-5310. In fact, if you call that number right now, you'll hear the show that my wife and my son did today at 4 o'clock, in which she talks about the importance of making sure you take care of your children on social media. That number again is 641-552-5310. And every day at 4 o'clock, it has the preceding show from that day on that loop, which is runs 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And the reason I did that, and Todd helped me with it, was because I always listen to Alex Jones when I do listen to him on that same feature that he has, because he has a phone number you can call too, because it doesn't use any data on your computer system. It's just a free phone call, and it gives you really good quality sound over the car speakers, so you're able to listen to my show anytime you want, 24 hours a day, and you can hear the latest updates on the news and on health research.
I tapped into that. I tried that phone number today myself, and it works, folks, and that's a great feature. Ted, we're out of time, brother, but I want to thank you so much, man. Thank you so very much for all you do.
I want to thank the listeners, too. Guys, we love you, and I appreciate you guys so much. Thanks for supporting Hagman's. Thanks for supporting Health Masters. So many times we go through life, we just don't say thank you. Thank you for all that you've done for all of us. I appreciate all of the guys listening tonight. Thank you, and all the ladies listening.
Yes, absolutely. And catch Ted on the Common Sense Show this Sunday, for the third hour. He's going to be a guest with Dave Hodges. God bless you, brother. We'll talk soon.
God bless you guys. Good night.
All right. Well, folks, that'll do it for us tonight for this segment. Monday, we're going to have L.A. Marzulli. Don't forget, Monday's the debates. 100 million viewers. We're going to be hopefully covering that in addition to talking to LA, but it's good. This is, folks, do you think, I mean, is Hillary gonna make it for the 90 minutes? Is she going to be fully medicated? Is there going to be a doppelganger scenario? Look, I've heard it all. I don't know.
There's an interesting article from InfoWars yesterday, exclusive: Hillary to drop out of race if she cancels debate.
Yeah.
Now that was
some rumblings out there about
from
that.
From InfoWars. And many people asked a legitimate question. She's
from Breitbart, in a way.
Yeah. Is she healthy enough and able to stand in front of a crowd without handlers and whatnot? But from what I can tell, they pump her full of so much medication, they can get her going for 90 minutes. But as you've seen in the last few weeks, that 90 minutes has to suffice for 7 days.
Well, we shall see.
And
keep an eye on our websites, HagmanReport.com. That's HagmanReport.com as a central hub for information, including show information. The Hagman or HagmanandHagman.com is just for the show. HagmanReport.com for show information. Keep your eyes on that website. Also, Twitter at HagmanReport, Facebook HagmanReport, and Instagram at HagmanReport.
Great lineup next week. Yep. L.A. Marzulli, Steve Quill, Pastor Langford, Rick Wiles.
Yeah, got them all. Good night.